Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Glenn Carl, the author of The Interrogator and Education. He was a member of the CIA's clandestine services for 23 years and retired in 2007 as the Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. Welcome to Background Briefing, Glenn Carl.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Glenn. And what do you make of following the latest indictments by Robert Mueller, the president's response, and there's another associate of Paul Manafort's has pled guilty. But there's a sense that Donald Trump is on a roll here. The Republicans are becoming more and more accepting of him. Even people like Senator Corker, who are critical, are now apparently sort of sucking up to him. I don't understand why he's suddenly being enabled in this way with not just loyalty, but with respect by critics within his own party. But when you look at some of the stuff that's going on, particularly with the Chief of Staff, General Kelly, trying to figure out how to deal with the fact that there are 130 senior White House staffers without proper clearances, security clearances, including the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, you have to ask yourself, with all the accumulated evidence coming out about Russia's involvement in the elections and the unbelievable inability of Donald Trump to say a bad word about Vladimir Putin and to ignore the majority, the 99% majority of the House and Senate wanting to sanction Russia, and Trump is not doing that. And you get the impression that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's not completely off the wall to suggest that this government has been thoroughly penetrated by Putin, as Clapper, the former director of National Intelligence, the top American intelligence officer, said, for all intents and purposes, Vladimir Putin is Donald Trump's case officer. So if that's the case, then don't you think that Putin, as an intelligence officer, has penetrated the White House and maybe he's even reading the presidential daily brief?
Well, it's hard to know where to begin. There are so many profoundly alarming and dangerous developments in our political life and in our government and in our society. For over 2 years from, oh gosh, probably 8 months before any public statements, maybe 7 months before any public statements were made by any journalist or individual about the activities of Russian intelligence toward and with or with members of the Trump entourage, Trump campaign, and possibly Trump himself. 7-8 months before that became public, I have been trying to say exactly that. I tried to contact colleagues of mine who still are in the government. I tried to talk to journalists about this. Now, I don't have firsthand information. I am a retired officer. But for an intelligence officer, watching public affairs and watching Donald Trump and knowing how the Russian intelligence services work and how they target and penetrate targets of interest in the United States, it just jumps out at anybody how vulnerable Trump is, how clear Russian activities are. And then we have found, unfortunately, that perception has been progressively established in fact, over and over and over, point after point, from source after source, demonstrates that Russian intelligence of multiple sorts, in multiple ways, have targeted and have worked with, exploited members of Trump's entourage, Trump's family, Trump's business, and probably Trump himself. It's just absolutely clear. And that is shocking. So to concisely answer your question, if the Russians have not penetrated the White House, I would be flabbergasted because I know how to conduct intelligence operations. And with this many signs and this many vulnerabilities, you'd have to be incompetent not to be able to exploit them to your own advantage.
And what do you think happened in that meeting that took place recently with the head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, who's a very partisan Tea Party Republican, very close to Trump. Apparently Trump likes him. And he met, along with Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence, met with the heads of the three major Russian intelligence agencies, the SVR, Foreign Intelligence, GRU, Military Intelligence, and FSB, their equivalent of the FBI. And nothing was said about it. What was said about it was absolutely absurd, that it was all about, you know, dealing with terrorism. Nobody believes that. And then, so it's hard not to wonder what is still going on there. I mean, there's never been a normal president would have, once it became public, his own Justice Department is telling the world that the Russians meddled in our elections. Any normal president would go to the public and say, this is unacceptable, we've all been attacked, and we've got to figure out a way to prevent further attacks. Instead, Trump is shouting from the rooftop to somehow he's been vindicated, because the latest indictments didn't mention White House collusion or the Trump campaign collusion. So none of what he's doing makes any sense. And I don't know what his own director of Central Intelligence is doing, meeting with the very same Russians who, without suggesting in any way escalating tensions, but at least you should put these people on notice that, you know, what you did is unacceptable and we're not going to take it anymore.
Well, a charitable interpretation of the meetings would be that there are reasons, and it is not unusual for Russian intelligence officers and American ones at senior levels to meet to discuss areas of mutual concern, to deconflict, to cooperate, and so on. That is true. But it is also true, and as an intelligence officer, that you always conduct intelligence operations with a cover story and a totally plausible and probably true series of explanations and reasons. The best lie is the truth. It's just not the right truth. So yes, it's true that I went to the movies, sir. But the real reason I went to the movies, unstated, might be that I was there to meet a spy. But you know, I went to watch 101 Dalmatians. That's how you conduct an intelligence operation. So I am not saying that Pompeo and the rest of the national security leadership are Russian spies, but I am saying that no intelligence officer acts altruistically. You always seek what's called net advantage. You only meet if you assess in advance that you can derive more benefit from the meeting than you will give to the other side. So that's what the Russians are doing. Now, what are they doing? Yeah, let's look at Pompeo for a second. Pompeo is a Tea Partier who, although quite impressive, you know, first in his class at West Point, obviously very bright, spent a lot of time cutting his teeth on the Benghazi investigations, which were, you know, there are 500 separate investigations with a collective of, you know, 400,000 man years of testimony or some unbelievable thing for many, many millions of dollars. And it was all a transparent sham just to bring down Hillary Clinton. There was never anything to the Benghazi story whatsoever. That's quite clear. Now, I was not at Benghazi myself at the time. However, you can see, yes, Americans were tragically killed. The circumstances are disturbing. Obviously, things went wrong from how Americans would like them to go. From there to say that Hillary was polishing her nails and was willfully accepting the death of people or whatever it was they were alleged, you know, is obscene and was proven by themselves to have no foundation. And yet, he continues to maintain that. It's equivalent to the whole birther garbage that Donald Trump used. So the fact that he is meeting with the Russians and then says, here's the reason why, I wouldn't believe what he has to say for 2 seconds. I think the Russians are there because they are trying to coordinate their, pursue their own objectives, of course, and to do so with willing parties. And Trump's administration wants to meet with the Russians. And so the Russians will probably try to either feed information or obtain information by questioning and shape perceptions within the community. And that's what the Russians are up to. What the Americans are up to, I suspect, Trump has told his senior deputies to make nice to the Russians.
And again, I'm speaking with Glenn Carl, the author of The Interrogator and Education. He was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. And what's your sense then of whether or not something is going on, a macro deal? Because my understanding is that what Putin is doing, first of all, the anti-American propaganda suddenly has been switched off and it's been very intense. And as you know, Putin is running for president yet again, and he's basically running against the West. That's his main platform, to distract the Russian people from the wholesale theft of their country by Putin and his cronies. They keep pumping up this specter of NATO and the West being responsible for all Russia's problems. But so that's been dialed down. It looks like Prigozhin, his buddy, the cook, who was behind this recent, or was in this recent Mueller indictment for the troll factory that he runs in St. Petersburg, Prigozhin also runs these mercenary armies that fight for Russia in Ukraine and in Syria. And most of the Russian mercenaries there in one Prigozhin's guys were wiped out in a recent battle where they marched on the Americans, which was insane. Mm-hmm. They did it without air cover, which would suggest that the Russian military hung them out to dry, and they were slaughtered. So I don't know what's going on. Do you have any inkling?
Well, I don't. I would suspect that the Russians got ahead of themselves there and then found themselves up against people who just wiped them, American suits wiped them out. And that wasn't part of the Russian plan. I think that you're maybe underestimating Putin, certainly a kleptocrat, and he's the 21st century Romanov kind of thing, and is happy to have an oligarchy like this with him on top. But he does pursue, he is a nationalist and a patriot, and is pursuing Russian national interests, which are pretty traditional ones, and he's doing so very successfully. So what I think is going on in the larger sense is a lot of the Russians, no one ever has as coherent a strategy and grand master scheme as we all imagine. People respond to the circumstances of the moment and then do things ad hoc and are in contradiction with themselves, and one agency works across purposes to another. All that the Russians suffer from, at least as much as anybody. However, they do have, I think, quite clearly strategic objectives, which they are pursuing coherently and with great success. And they are, and Donald Trump is either their willing ally in this or their unwitting useful idiot in this. And the two things are adding up to the same. And both could be partially true simultaneously. And the Russian objectives are that what is bad for America is good for Russia. So they define it. So let's cut America down a notch in any way. We will foment discord, disaffection with our political system, distrust of institutions, arguments, weakening of the ability of the American government to act coherently. We will separate the United States from Europe. We will weaken NATO. We will weaken the European Union. We will extend and reassert Russian control of the near abroad, they call it, which is essentially the Central Europe or the countries of the Warsaw Pact. What have we seen? They have seized the Crimea. They have done what they want in Georgia. They've done what they want in Azerbaijan. They are pressuring the Baltics. They have strengthened the military capabilities within Kaliningrad, the Russian enclave. They have fostered discontent with democracy in Ukraine. They are separating Poland and Hungary from Western norms. All of this they are doing with the frank acceptance strategically and agreement and assistance of Trump. Those are strategic aims that they are pursuing, and they are achieving them with Trump's help.
But Trump's either owned by Putin, and that explains why he can't ever say anything against him or do anything against him. That seems to be one interpretation. But those that give Trump the benefit of the doubt say, well, he's really trying to, restore a kind of detente because we can't afford to have a nuclear war with Russia, all that stuff. So if Putin is sacrificing Prigozhin, My sense is that maybe there's a deal there. Maybe Putin is basically, because his own chief of staff, Sergei Ivanov, who was a KGB general, very much a superior of Putin's. And even though, as you say, Putin's a nationalist and he's pursuing Russia's interests, he was never a very successful KGB guy. So he sort of gave deference to Ivanov. But then Ivanov had warned him, Putin, that this meddling in the American elections was a terrible idea and there'd be blowback. And Ivanov lost the argument to Peskov, this PR guy that now is very much Putin's right-hand man. So they fired Ivanov and they went ahead with this project. And you could argue that it's been a catastrophe for the Russians. It certainly hasn't gotten rid of the sanctions that apparently General Flynn promised them that they'd get rid of the sanctions. And in fact, they've doubled down, even though Trump himself has held off on implementing them. So is it possible?
Well, you pursue. Yeah, I mean, you know, but you pursue everything that you want to pursue and while trying to prioritize and in the expectation that sometimes the opponents will, you know, they get some wins also. But why not try to advance all of your pieces and so long as you have a overall strategy? I don't find it inconsistent at all with Russian objectives. And one wouldn't expect, if you have a penetration in a foreign government, a source, an asset, we call it in the CIA, okay, yes, that person is committing treason for you against their country. But the person also works within a larger framework that he or she cannot control and will have to, and probably sincerely will want to, take actions that are not that are against your own interests. You're me, the spy, the person running the spy. But you accept that as part of what is required to maintain the source in place and to have influence. You don't expect that no one's going to be a complete automaton and just become the Kremlin in the White House. You do what you can do, and then you work against your master's interests sometimes because you have to, working in the system that you're trying to change. I didn't articulate it as well as I should, but it's not surprising that someone take action, someone who is an asset of a foreign power, take actions against that foreign power sometimes while continuing to work for the foreign power. Well, that's right out of Sun Tzu, frankly. That's you know, the art of war from 3,000 years ago. This is one of the basic rules of espionage.
Right, but that was what I was suggesting, is that maybe Putin and Trump are secretly working on a deal where Putin can get out from under the American election meddling operation that's backfired by hanging Pogrosin out to dry and saying it was an independent operation. And Trump can get out from under Mueller if he can make a deal with Putin, and they can both say, look, this did happen, but it wasn't authorized, and we're all terribly sorry, and we're all going to work together for world peace.
Well, I never expect Trump to say that. I think that's being too clever by half a little bit. I don't know. The closest I've come to your interpretation just then is I started to see, I have old friends, which is sort of amazing to me, but I have old friends who are in the Trump entourage, let's say, friends who go back many, many years. And a couple of weeks ago, they started to say to me, look how hostile Trump has been to Russia. You can't say that he's in the Russia's pocket. Now, we just recently started to hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders adopt this line. But all smoke and mirrors, and they point to tertiary steps, whereas the strategic ones are the actions that Trump has taken or not taken are deeply in Russia's strategic interests and those of the United States, you know, undermining NATO, separating us from Europe, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's how I would have started to see what I think you're getting at, which is a way for Trump to try to show, no, you know, I'm not what you guys think. Your assessment, I don't know. Maybe, but that part I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Well, Glenn Card, let's stay in touch as this extraordinary situation continues. I think.
Well, I've said for 2 years, the United States is confronting the gravest crisis to our institutions and country since 1861. And people have thought that I'm priggish and engaging in hyperbole, but I think that I'm spot on.
And that's because of Trump, right?
Because of Trump and because of Russian actions and because of the threat to our democracy by one major party that seems to be repudiating democratic norms.
Well, Glenn Kyle, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Glenn Kyle, who's the author of The Interrogator and Education. He was a member of the CIA's clandestine service for 23 years and retired in 2007 as Deputy National Intelligence Officer for Transnational Threats. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back looking into Trump's answers to the latest school massacre, which is to not just arm teachers, but to pay them a bonus for packing concealed weapons.